welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review one of the world's most renowned winemakers from New Zealand, being Cloudy Bay, and their Marlboro Sauvignon Blanc. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I don't know why I did that, but I wanted to make it sound sexy.
Was it, or was that a cymbal sound effect?
It was. It was like Prince. He had like the cymbal.
Prince?
Yeah.
Cymbal is in the musical instrument.
Oh, could be a crash cymbal. Yeah. That's my favorite cymbal. Or a hi-hat.
A hi-hat. But you like a hi-hat.
Is that a sexual thing? I don't know. I don't get that.
It's a cocktail.
Is that a cocktail?
Cocktease.
I understand that. That's what I am. Yeah.
You didn't finish the intro.
I'm a cocktail. Anyway, so on tonight's show,
You're supposed to say, and I'm joined by...
I am, but you interrupted me.
No, Wilfred interrupted you.
I did.
You know, usually the voices in your head...
I know.
Come into the show a little later.
Yes.
But it's good to be here, Wilfred.
Oh, that's right. And the unlicensed taxi driver.
Yeah, I'm
good. And all his prima donna self is here tonight as well.
My prima donna
self. I didn't say who I was. Nobody would hear me because they wouldn't say, oh, who's on there? Is it Mr. Jacques Cousteau? No, it's not him. Is it Barney the Purple Dinosaur? No, it's Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver. Boo-hoo.
Because you wanted to hear a dead, you know, person that goes under the water or a purple dinosaur.
What?
Isn't Jacques Cousteau dead? I mean, that's a kind of a hackney way of describing him. But
yeah. Hackney?
Yes. Hackney? Underwater explorer whose deed.
Listen, he's those dead. People died.
Tits
horrible
up.
Deaths.
He didn't die
in
horrible
that
death.
Submarine accident.
What's it have
and
to
you're
do
making
with...
fun of them.
Well, first of all, Jacques Cousteau was not on that sub made of paper mache.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, he might as well have been.
I think I want to drink this.
I've got $1 billion. I'm going to get in a paper mache sub. Oh, that was a bad idea. He's got a Nintendo controller for a steering wheel. I'm going to go down there. Shit.
I can't believe South Park didn't do an episode about that.
It's made of paper mache. Strangely enough, though, if it were
Kenny's
made of,
actually dead now.
If it were made of paper mache, it still would have sunk. Still would have blown, decompressed and sunk.
Paper mache might have been more hardy.
If it were made of just a regular balloon. Just a balloon. Blown up really big.
Covered in paper mache.
Or not. It was the end result. The same, you know. Well, if they just jump in the water and swim down really deep, end result, the same. You know.
We're bad, man.
It's made of paper mache. I'll get in there. Carbon fiber paper mache. You know, no one's ever built a sub like this before. I know, it ain't smart. No, no one's ever built a sub like this before because it's a piece of shit. Oh, that's unusual. Yeah, is the Nintendo controller wrong? It's a PlayStation controller. I'm sorry, I was told by our legal department. It was a PlayStation controller. We don't want to get sued. Brilliant. But you know what is brilliant? New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Good segue. What?
That's a quality segue.
No, you despise New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
No, I don't.
Yes, you mock it all the time.
No, I mock that to piss off Becky, but that's not the point. She does not like this Sauvignon Blanc. And I will argue...
What is this Sauvignon Blanc?
Well, I will argue
I don't
this
know what it
is.
I don't know
what
it is. The
penta-ultimate of New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Or is it the penta-ultimate?
Yeah.
And the penta-ultimate?
Oh, my God. Like, that makes a difference. You cock... Fuck you. Anyway,
Cloudy Bay. This is Cloudy Bay. And we've referred to them before as like the OG. I'm vomiting in my mouth.
Because you're thinking of Penta and Ultimate.
Yeah, whatever. Top level Sauvignon Blanc producers. Cloudy Bay is it. They are the beginning and the end of the sentence. I know that there's tons that came after the fact that are elite, that are top dog, whatever. Cloudy Bay is the first really top level producer that anybody's ever heard of. You know, this one normally comes in around $30 is what this one was, but I bought it for $24, I believe.
Okay. Yeah,
and price. Knowing how good Cloudy Bay is and the fact that Triple B hates it, I bought it anyway. This is the, I believe, 2021 vintage.
Okay.
Currently on their website, you can buy the 21, 22, and 23, which is for 23. I mean, we're late in 23. That's really getting it out there, guys. But still, it is classically one of the higher reviewed wines that you're going to find. Currently, there's some other ones like Dog Point and some other ones that they're getting really high reviews to. Gray Wackle. They all have great work. Gray Wackle is the same price as this. And I think it got a 95 from the Spectator, and it's currently for sale.
Mm.
There are some high-scoring wines. But the difference between those wines and this wine is longevity. And we'll get to that when we get to the scoring part when we talk about what the reviews are. But this wine, every fucking single year, gets a high score.
Okay.
By more than one place. Why? Because it's good. Despite what the Triple B might say. It doesn't taste like Kim Crawford. You're right. It doesn't taste like Lifesavers. Go figure.
Easy.
It doesn't taste like Love Block.
Go find Love Block. We you love can't, love Block. Can you?
We love Love
Block. I know. But this is a better wine than Love Block. It just is. Sorry.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you know, Scott, currently on the website, wine.com, this one is, I believe, out of stock, right? You can buy the 2022 vintage for $30
of your American dollars.
But you can also buy
Tococo.
Yeah, Tococo Vineyard for how much?
$70
of your dollars
of your American dollars.
For a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. You got a 94 from the Spectator, 95 from James, but so you can drink something that says Tococo. That's a lot of money for a Sauvignon Blanc.
Well,
that's a drink now wine.
I think you should buy it.
I won't. I just won't do that. I
thought you wanted to piss off Becky.
That would be, I'll show you, and then you piss in your own face. That thing,
you do it all the time.
Spotswood costs less than that, just to point that out.
Of course it does.
And so does Mary Edwards. And Mary Edwards is the creme de la creme, in my opinion, of Sauvignon Blanc. But, yeah. $70 is a bit too high there, Cloudy Bay. we would say no. They do also make a Pinot Noir, but I've never really seen much of their Pinot Noir available. Pretty small production. So we're going to take a break, though, since Scott's already been perverted and inappropriate. But we'll come back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. The 2021 Cloudy Bay Sauvignon Blanc from Marlborough in New Zealand. The scores for this wine.
Thank you. This is common man, or not common man, I'm a southern man. I am common.
You are common.
I know. I'm going to read the review from the Wine Spectator. They visibly observed this wine, and they speculated as to its score, and they wrote, intense and fresh, with green apple, dried pineapple, because you often dry pineapple, candied ginger, and lemon curd flavors that show a hint of, and fuck you, I don't want to know your recommendations on wine.com, a hint of ripe melon followed by details of lemon verbena on the finish. Because they weren't like poncy enough before that. Right. They're like, we said lemon curd, but fuck you, we're going to say lemon verbena. Because you know what that is. Drink now. This is James Suckling. I do know what lemon verbena is. Verbena. I mispronounced it because I don't know what it is. Anyway, the Spectator, the Southern man, is too drunk on moonshine. They gave it 93 of their points. I gave it 92 of my points because I didn't feel that it was worth a 93. But I said, this is really perfumed. Or it could have been that homeless lady I was sitting next to when I wrote this review. With fresh guava, grass, papaya, and bitter lemon ammonia aromas.
Jesus.
Full-bodied with tangy acidity and an oily and creamy texture. Crisp finish. Always attractive.
Just like the unlicensed taxi driver.
Always attractive. I don't know what I meant by that. I don't know what that means.
You were thinking of me.
I was thinking of something else, yes. Bitter lemon ammonias. aromas.
Ammonias?
I don't know why I think that, but just comes to me.
Are you put off by the Southern man, James?
Yes.
It is hard to...
He smells like ammonia.
Follow him up.
Is it urine or ammonia? Anyway.
I think they're distinct aromas.
Just to give you some context about the quality of this wine.
Is there ammonia in your urine? Do you?
Yes. The 2022, and I'm not going to talk about James. I'm just going to talk about the Wine Spectator. We'll just deal with them. 2022, Sauvignon Blanc, 92 of their points. 21, 93. 20, 93. 19, 93. 18, 92 from Parker. 17, 90 from Parker. 16, 90 from Spectator. 15, 92 from Spectator. 14, 93 from Spectator, 90 from Parker. And Wilford even gave it a review. 13, 90 from The Enthusiast. 12, 89 from The Spectator, so that could be bad. 11, 90 from The Spectator. 10, 90 from The Spectator.
Well, they just didn't pay their fees for their ad.
Just goes on. I mean, it's getting 90s for every year, pretty much, completely. I think we even had some bad... What year was... horrible. Was it 18 that was terrible for New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs? We had like the geese in it. It tasted like limeade.
We went through a bunch of the grocery store ones. And is that fair comparison points? I don't know.
On this show, it might be.
We never had a Kim Crawford or a Love Block that was bad, regardless of the vintage. So I don't know that it was... anything other than maybe the bad producers.
Could be.
That's always been my take on it. You were always harsh on New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs.
Well, in the glass, this is gorgeous.
It's crisp looking, crystal clear, very, very pale is the word I would use.
Like champagne.
It's clear.
Very clear. Clear as a bell. I mean, it's... there's no effervescence.
But not only that, it's just faintly of a yellow color.
Yeah. Really pretty.
Yeah.
As white wines go.
I'm surprised by the lack of color to it.
Sauvignon Blanc should be I mean, aged Chardonnay or aged white Burgundy, sure, but Sauvignon Blanc should be pale like this. They shouldn't be yellow and strong.
This is really pale.
It should even almost have like a green hue to them.
It could be that.
So.
The nose.
On the nose.
I'd had my nose in this glass for some time. It's beautiful. It's
green apple, fig.
Just a striking nose. Mm-hmm. As soon as you stick your nose in there, you know you're going to be able to pull out more than one thing. It's in the background, you have some of the tropical fruits that you'd expect, but there's so much more to it. There's a grassiness about it.
Chalky. Mm. Yeah. I love the green fig and the green apple that's there. It's so nice.
It's like, have you ever gone to one of those places where you can get the green smoothies?
Yeah.
And you walk in and they've got just the displays of lemongrass.
Mm-hmm.
This is lemongrass.
Lemongrass. Yeah, yeah. I'll go along
with that. This is lemongrass in a glass.
Mm-hmm.
Just a beautiful nose.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I've had their Sauvignon Blanc before. I don't think I've had a wine from this producer.
No, I don't think you have either. I have, but
Sauvignon Blanc is not.
It's a $30 bottle of wine. You don't ordinarily spend $30 on a Sauvignon Blanc from anywhere, let alone New Zealand.
If I want to spend money on a Sauvignon Blanc, it's Turley. Love Turley.
Sure.
Princess, once upon a time, was her favorite white wine. And freaking love Blanc. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I want a good Sauv. That's where I go.
Well, maybe you'll change that now. So let's go on.
First thought across my brain is impressive length.
Yeah.
But my first hit, it falls a little flat.
Well, you thought it was faint. It tasted faint. But then I realized that's intentional. The wine is subtle. And it builds. It builds. There's a crescendo to the wine. But it's such a reserved, classy version of Sauvignon Blanc. So often we're treated to these things that I wouldn't say that they're typical of what Sauvignon Blanc is supposed to be. They're too fruity. They're too fruit forward. These wines should be lean. They should be acidic. Classically, that's what they are. Classically, that's the grape. You know, that doesn't necessarily make for one that's going to sell 110,000 cases, though. Mm-mm. It doesn't. So that's why you make a wine that has good acidity in the back end, but has fruit in the front. This wine is a classic version of that. A little bit more, dare I say, homage to French, but still retaining the terroir that is New Zealand. This is mildly on oak. I believe it's like 4% is on like large oak barrels. Just to give one bit of dimension. You can taste it in the background there. Just one bit of oakiness that isn't prominent, but is a feature of the wine. If you're a smoker, you can't taste this wine.
No. It's so subtle and soft, but long. It really has an impressively long finish for a simple, straightforward white wine. And what
it isn't, though, simple and straightforward. It's very reserved.
Well, what I'm getting at is this is not some production of, a four French varietal white blend that's been oaked. This is subtly oaked, yes. Would you say the percentage was
4%?
4% of this volume has touched oak. So that's nothing.
Yeah.
Yet it's there. What is so impressive is the way this wine presents the lemon structure.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot else there, though, Rob Dern. It's a kiss of culture. I'll give you that. I forget the way you described it. That's going to be my phrase. Kiss of culture. You know this is a upscale product. You know this is uptown. This is uptown.
It's uptown.
This is a bougie Sauvignon Blanc.
in its clarity and its purpose. It's a wine that's very purposeful, but it isn't showy in any way, shape, or form. This is really, in a sommelier's exam, this is the challenge to pull things out of. This is that wine that they use every year. It's that good. The question is, what do you value in the wine, and how do you score in relation to that? The purity of Sauvignon Blanc in this glass, it's kind of hard to debate about that. I mean, this wine is pure classic Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. The question is, you go, well, where's the flash? Where's the flair? That's not what it is. The flair is in its, I don't know. It's almost like Austrian excess. They don't believe in that.
I'll be honest with you. This tastes more of Germany and Austria than New Zealand. So stylistically,
it does.
Maybe that's why year in year out this score's so high.
Mm-hmm.
It
does remind me of a little bit of the Wacker. What was that?
Domaine Vacau.
Yes, it does remind me of the Domaine Vacau. It does.
Do they make a Sauvignon Blanc?
No, they make the Grüner Veltliner.
Yeah, they make the Veltliner.
But, I mean, and it's a different varietal, but the mentality is similar in the two. This might be a little bit more subtle, but I drink this wine and I go back and I just sit back in my chair and go, wow. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on why I say wow.
But you're
why I'm impressed with this wine to that level. But I am. And
I'm similar, except I'm not necessarily at that wow point. I'm just like, this is making my brain think. This is like, there's just a certain purity about this wine.
Yeah.
It's
stripped down. But you know how I appreciate that kind of stuff. I love a stripped down wine to the point where it's the essence of the grape and the appellation or the region where it's from. Nothing more. This tastes like Sauvignon Blanc. My classic version of Sauvignon Blanc, what I think of, with New Zealand terroir. Both those things are married, for me, perfectly together. No excess, no fat, no showiness. It's not for a fucking, you know, bridezilla, you know, bachelorette party, which so often Sauvignon Blanc is manipulated into. This wine is for aficionados of Sauvignon Blanc, which that sounds strange, but I know that they exist. And this is like the when you drill down, you say, what is good about Sauvignon Blanc? What should Sauvignon Blanc taste like in a vacuum? You kind of get this.
I'll tell you what, I think it's a little too chilled. It was a little too chilled. I'm starting to get some different things now, Rob. I'm starting to get a little minerality towards the finish, like a little like flint thing, maybe. Yeah. A little.
And the mouthfeel, that glycerin mouthfeel, starting to show a little bit too.
Yeah. The thing for me about this, I'm looking for the acidity. And I'm not...
It's there at the finish.
At the finish. That's a little bit of a weird expression for me.
But it's always in... It's never out of bounds.
No.
There's no flabbiness to this wine whatsoever.
But I just was looking for that acidity. And I think as it's opened up, as it's come a little bit up to temperature, that expression of the... I described as flint. And I think that acidity's present at the very end of this wine.
And look, what I would say about
this
that
is subtle.
Well, it is a subtle wine. I think that often we get the zing of acidity in wines that have zing. This wine isn't a zinging wine. So if you had zinging acidity throughout the wine, it would make the wine out of balance. And so you have to have subtle, soft acidity in there because the wine itself is subtle and soft. But, you know, if you put zinging acidity in Kim Crawford, who the fuck cares? Because, you know, it's you know, Ronald McDonald, you know.
No, wheezy. Easy. No.
That's fair.
Well, it's not fair. That's over the top.
It's harsh, but it's fair.
It's very harsh. Kim Crawford makes a good product, and we've never had a bad Kim Crawford bottle of wine. I have.
I like them, but I like them in a different way. It's just like I love a Thurman burger, but I also sometimes enjoy just a basic cheeseburger from Burger King. I understand that they're not the same. And that's the way I would say it with these two. Although this is not a Thurman burger. It's way too subtle for that. I would say this. This is a...
That horseradish cheese.
This is
very subtle.
I'm going to leave it out for a little bit.
I think it should just stay out.
This is a wine that I would argue deserves a little more consideration because it challenges what we normally... the way we normally approach things. You've always said, well, there's good tropical fruits in Sauvignon Blanc. There's not supposed to fucking be. They're not. It's not supposed to be.
That's what all the New Zealand
but
ones are.
But they're
this one's
wrong.
Different.
Well, that's not Sauvignon Blanc. That isn't. Sauvignon Blanc, to say that it's should be a little bit more boring than those wines would be an accurate statement.
Sure.
Those are a perversion of Sauvignon Blanc.
Well,
it's just like saying apothec is a great Zin.
Particularly when they're over the top with that tropical fruit.
And they're all over the top.
Well, no.
Kim Crawford is.
Kim is
not. It doesn't
not
mean it's not a tasty drink, but.
But it's like even Love Block can express those. But one of the things we love about Love Block is that expression of lemon, which is here. It's just, even though it's naked and there's no, you don't have the pineapple, you don't have the mango, you don't have those things.
Don't want it. Don't eat it.
But so the lemon's naked, but it's still really subtle. Yeah. This lemon is still really, really subtle.
Essence of everything. It's just like you're at a place that serves au cuisine, and they do the essence of a scallop, and so it's a deconstructed everything. This is that. You have a whiff of this, a whiff of that, an element of this, an element of that. Yet the wine works, and you say, well, I am brought back for another sip because you enjoy what you had.
And let's be fair, price point wise, we're talking $30 versus
$17. We are, or even cheaper than that.
But what I'm getting at is this isn't a $60 glass.
No.
So it's 30, but there's quality. You know this is quality. I'm still
you're still trying to rack your mind about a $30 Sauvignon Blanc though, aren't you?
No, it's not that. I'm still trying to sort out what this thing is to me. Is it super next level, or is it just this amazingly soft and subtle thing that is subtle and still approachable? I like the dry nature of this, but I think this is, for me, for the listeners, if you try this wine, don't overchill it.
No, you shouldn't.
I think it if it's super cold, you need to pour sparingly, swirl it so that it comes up to temperature quicker. I think it shows more of the wine then, because it's so damn subtle.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that oaking of 4%. I think that 4% shows so much.
Yeah, it's a nice pop. It's clever. I would say this. This is a wine that I think that you should drink. Do I think that you should have a case of it? No. That's no. Don't do that. But there's something called, you know, red wine that you should be buying a case of. But if you enjoy white wines, this is an important thing to taste because it's a large production white wine. I mean, it is a fairly highly produced wine. I mean, it's out there. That is subtle. I mean, I always appreciate things that aren't necessarily ones that people would love. I mean, there are people that say that this wine isn't very good, but you know, they enjoy banjo music, and they, you know, and they like to, you know, hold hands with their cousin. And, oh, I'm sorry,
do Triple, more than that with their cousin.
Triple B is on the show, or she's just stopped by. But then again, she doesn't like this wine, so.
Oh, I think she would.
No. She doesn't like Cloudy Bay. Scott, no. She doesn't.
It's weird. Rob said a long time ago, Rob was like, you love this? I don't like it at all.
I know. I said people that don't like it enjoy banjo music.
Actually, yeah.
Maybe, that's right.
Yeah.
Maybe that is why. Maybe he saw you behind me. That's when he said it, but. I thought he said it before your arrival, to be fair to the wine guy. I'm shocked that you don't like this. The subtlety of it?
Is it metallic? I can't remember. Clay?
That's why I think you should give it another shot.
It's classy. Oh, it's subtle. Lord. It's subtle. Here.
It's extremely subtle.
Very subtle.
It's like... And it just doesn't have that tropical fruit that you expect from the Sauvignon Blanc.
How do you even get, like, any... You just, like, put, like, a one, like, drop in your mouth.
My taste buds are just...
A hummingbird.
It is. It's the metallic aftertaste.
There's no metallic aftertaste. Yeah, no. You're having a stroke. That's the problem.
That's it.
You smell burning hair right now, don't you?
What's that mean?
There's no metallicness.
Yes, there's a metallic hint.
There's not.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't. That's because you have a penny in your mouth, you twit. There's no fucking metallic.
I was chewing on a rusty nail.
It was so calm before. Oh, Jesus Christ. There's no... No. You can say that wine is too subtle and it should be flashier. And for $30, it should have wings and rocket launchers and shit like that. But
I like wings.
Well, that's a good place.
Can I have a ginger soy marinade?
I thought you'd want to go there tomorrow night, but you don't.
We can.
We have a coupon.
I don't care about the coupon.
Yeah, I do. A-R-P. I like that.
No, so I did say, well, he said coupon. I didn't. I got an email.
Oh. You got an email?
With a 30% discount.
That's nice.
Was it from the
barn? It is.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, it is.
What did you do to get that?
It's just, I'm on the mailing list.
Oh, wow.
It's Cam Mitchell's 30th anniversary. That's why.
You said it was from AARP.
Becky, it's called a joke. If you can't figure
out...
I
thought you meant it sincerely.
Did you also believe when I said tonight that Scott fought in the French Revolution? Do you think that was true, too?
I wouldn't eat that off the floor. I'm not.
Okay.
It was next to a
dead body. I like the expression of minerality in this, which we missed at first as it comes up to room temperature. I think there's an expression of minerality that's flint.
Well, I don't smoke six packs
of... The metallic is... It could be, though.
Flint isn't metallic.
Well, what I'm tasting is metal.
Why?
In your defense,
I don't smoke six packs a day, so... I got some Dark Horse probably somewhere. You can drink that.
It's so subtle.
It's not too acidic.
I was, like, looking for the acidity. You just don't like it. And that's okay.
And isn't it surprising?
It's not vodka. It's probably wine.
It's so soft and subtle. I thought you would have loved it.
I like candy.
You have no idea what she likes and dislikes.
Not anymore.
I like a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
No, you don't. That is a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. That is the New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
Like Kimmy, and that's like not that.
No.
We've been talking about that.
Yeah, Kimmy is not.
Is it from a different place? I can't remember.
It's from Marlboro.
It doesn't say that on the bottle.
What's that say?
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, it's in big, bold letters right there. Yeah.
Easy.
It's hard to see.
Oh,
Do you think it's once they got bought by Hennessy?
Actually, well, they are owned by Hennessy. There's one point.
No, it's V. Clicquot.
It's Moet Hennessy.
Yeah, Moet Hennessy, yeah. Veuve Clicquot. Well,
that's what this is.
Well, Veuve Clicquot doesn't own anything.
Today, it's a partnership between Champagne House, Veuve Clicquot, Paul Sardine, and the co-founder of Cape Mantel Vineyards in Western Australia.
Which is owned by
Hennessy.
Okay.
Yeah, Veuve Clicquot was...
I love that you brought that butcher knife to cut cheese.
No, I brought the butcher knife to cut the ribeye cap that we had.
Oh, how was it?
Yeah. Fatty deliciousness.
Yeah, it was. And by the way, the Mavedre from Klein is ancient vines, so you know.
I heard that.
I want you to know that. They're old vines and they're ancient.
And
I... recording for a second.
I did say that you would love the Mavedre.
We put everything on the air.
I said you would love it.
Did you know that Wilfred found out that you can't put lipstick on an orangutan?
That's true. You can't do it. Oh, that's okay. Whoops. If you do it, they get mad.
I thought that would make you stop.
No, nothing will make me stop. I'll never stop.
Have fun.
Don't you stop. Don't you stop. You just wanted to talk to us, and you wouldn't stop the episode so she could say something off the air.
Yeah, I won't. Everything goes on the air.
Everything?
Everything.
No.
Everything.
Listen.
I'm an open book.
You can say that to the listeners.
That's right.
I know more better.
I'm running you out of here. Talk about fucking an orangutan. I didn't actually, though.
Because you tried to put lipstick on it.
I know. It's not a very attractive animal, Scott, so you have to try to doll it up, Sam.
Have you looked in the mirror, Wilfred?
Found out it was a male orangutan. I think that might have been the problem.
You're not an orangutan. You're just a subspecies of humanity.
But that's true. But the orangutan was a male orangutan. I think it took offense to me trying to put lipstick on it.
I can't imagine why.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. The triple B, she's gone now because I did Wilfred's voice. You're welcome. Anyway, Luke said, I would like to have my fingernails painted. Luke said this. Now, he doesn't know what that means. So Becky painted his fingernails.
Okay.
And he looked like a fucking moron.
So?
And I was calling him Fancy Boy. And he goes, Daddy, I want to see you take this off my hands. He wouldn't try to wash his hands for the sake. I was like, it didn't come off that way, dipshit. I said, go show Henry your fingernails. No. I was like, look, Luke. I said, I will take that off. Don't ever do that again.
He can put fingernail on his polish on his fingers if he wants to.
He realized he did not want to after he did it.
Okay, but don't tell him. Maybe he does want to.
He doesn't.
Maybe he just didn't like your judgment.
He was already judging himself before that because he was hiding
his
hand. Yeah.
Because you judged him.
No, because I don't think he really knows what that meant.
It means nothing. It means their fingernail polish means nothing.
Yeah, Luke shouldn't have fingernail polish on.
Well, listen, here's the reason Luke shouldn't have fingernail polish on. If he wants to have fingernail polish on, he can.
I took it off him.
But he's a roughhouse lad. He would damage his nail polish on a daily basis. It would take much to upkeep. Therefore, he shouldn't have fingernail polish.
Okay.
If he should, you should, as a proper parent, you should give him the acrylic hard coat so it'll be more longer lasting.
Well, Henry's like, you did what, Luke? You idiot. Don't do that. As he goes, don't. What would you? And William goes, William, Luke, don't. Anyway, I took it off with fingernail polish.
You know who painted their fingernails and toenails?
You?
Chuck Liddell.
Great.
Why don't you tell Chuck he shouldn't wear fingernail polish?
Because if I told Chuck, he wouldn't remember it because his brains are fucking scrambled eggs.
No, because Chuck would clock you.
He couldn't even fucking see 3 feet in front of him. He's all fucked up.
Chuck's not fucked up.
Oh, he's fucked up. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So Scott and I were, Scott is perplexed, and I understand completely why. And the fact that, and I'm going to paraphrase and speak for him because, you know, I'm a man, that he hasn't experienced Sauvignon Blanc really in this way. And I understand that. And I'll tell you why. Let me say why. Sauvignon Blanc, look it up, folks. It is supposed to be the leanest, most acidic white wine there is. It's supposed to be the driest. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be something that matches up with shellfish, that matches up with oysters, that matches up with mussels. The most acidic, you know, briny shit, Sauvignon Blanc goes with that. That's what it's supposed to be. If you're having some sort of, you know, oily fish, white fish, sea bass shit, that's Sauvignon Blanc's job. That's not, or I'm sorry, that's Chardonnay's job. That's not Sauvignon Blanc. Sauvignon Blanc is lean, mean, acidic. But that doesn't sell, folks. You know, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, Sauvignon Blanc wasn't a big seller. The ones that we sold when I was selling were like the Masons. Why? Because they had some grassy elements. They had a little more body. They had a little bit more going on. But classic Sauvignon Blanc, lean, mean, acidic, you know, green apple, lemon curd to a certain extent, wines, nobody, you know, especially in like the Midwest, you're not eating fresh shellfish. What the fuck are you, I mean, you're not eating oysters, shucking oysters and eating them. You're not doing that. So what the fuck are you going to drink it for? So you had producers, big producers say, yeah, we can't sell like we need to sell. Say we want to sell 300,000 cases of this wine. We can't sell Sauvignon Blanc like that. Because they're not going to, you know, classic Sauvignon Blanc. Nobody's going to buy that much of it. Rightfully so, because it's a niche wine. It really is. It's too dry. It's too this, it's too that. So they made it fruitier. They made it bigger. They made it, you know, more ripe. They made it so people enjoyed it. Kim Crawford is like a number one. Basically, I think, in my opinion, Kim Crawford said, you know what? That Kendall Jackson, they know how to make Chardonnay. We want to make a Sauvignon Blanc that is to Sauvignon Blanc that Kendall Jackson is to Chardonnay. And so they made it. Now, it's ripe, it's fruit forward, it's bright, but it doesn't have any of the elements of Sauvignon Blanc. It doesn't embrace the core of Sauvignon Blanc. If you went to France and you drank Sauvignon Blanc there, you'd be like, what? That's not Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah, it is. It's lean. There isn't much there. What's the point of the grape? Because it's not necessarily a wine that people were buying to drink by itself. They were drinking it with a thing, with a food, with a fresh food. It was a wine that you drank with food, not by itself necessarily. It's not really a cheese pear. It's not really a, you know, no, it's not what it's, maybe olives, but it's not really what it's for. It's
for
there.
Lunch. You it's, had this with lunch.
You did. It was there for a specific purpose. That's the history of the wine. But we have manipulated that so the producers can make money. God bless them. I understand that. But you have to recognize the fact that there are two different types of Sauvignon Blanc. There's the commercial Sauvignon Blanc, which theoretically is that grape, but it's not really what it is. It's not what it's supposed to taste like. And then there is the other level, the historic. And I think this one is more towards the historic. It does still bleed a little bit into the traditional or into the making money version. But it's more towards the historic. It's the leaner. It's got all those things down. The people that made it know what classic good Sauvignon Blanc, good earnest Sauvignon Blanc, is supposed to taste like. And that's what they made this wine to taste like. Is it? It's not Kendall Jackson. It's not, it's not, you know, Kim Crawford. It's not any of those things. It's not what it is. We're going to drink some more of these kind of wines throughout the show and to really compare back, but it's not, you know, Oyster Bay. It's not Giessen. It's not any of those things. But it is a representation of what Sauvignon Blanc really should taste like. That might be your bag. That might not be.
Well,
it might not be. You know, it might not be. Because there's so many other white wines you'll enjoy that are good. I mean, I think Kim Crawford, it's never something that's unpleasant to drink.
And it's never over the top either.
Mm.
I
just recognize that it's not necessarily Sauvignon Blanc. It's a white wine that is the grape of Sauvignon Blanc. I think it's a good alternative to inexpensive Chardonnay. Because they don't over oak it. It's stainless. It has good fruit. And it really reminds me of Kendall Jackson Chardonnay, which I don't hate either. But, you know, I also like Kool-Aid, so what the hell's the difference?
Crazy, man.
You know. High C. I don't like high C. No.
I was like the more tart flavors. They had a green apple once.
I don't want any of that stuff. Too sugary.
Dang it.
So what were you thinking, Scott? Do you have any... I mean, I get the fact. I mean, you're coming in, you weren't drinking Chardonnays from 25 years ago. I mean, because that wasn't a popular grape then.
It's just...
I did, so...
It's so soft and subtle that it's kind of hard to get your head wrapped around, because with Sauvignon Blanc, even the really good ones I've had that I enjoyed, the acidity, you didn't have to look around for it. But like many superior white wines in general, you know, sometimes it can be too chilled and the subtlety's lost.
Yeah.
It can become nondescript. And this was never nondescript. It was just so soft and subtle that... it was hard to pick things out. What I love about this wine, just the way I had to search for that acidity, I knew it was going to be there.
Yep.
And then it just comes out in the end. It's a wonderfully balanced wine, but
yeah,
the star of the show for me is just that kiss of lemon. It's such a subtle kiss of lemon. It's like if you took the zest of the most freshest lemons you've ever had in your life and put them in an olive oil and let that olive oil age for 20 okay. fucking years.
You lost me there, Scott. I was like, they put what?
20 okay. fucking years.
Then you put that olive oil up your ass. I don't know.
And then you had that olive oil.
You were meandering about. That's all he's saying. I'm saying.
And you just tasted that olive oil on a piece of bread. Scally's crusty bread.
Okay.
And you just tasted that olive oil. That lemon that you would get out of that olive oil. That's what this is.
The olive oil threw people off, Scott. I'm just saying. Threw me off. Then again, it doesn't take much, really. I know.
The orangutan threw you off the bench when you tried to put lipstick on it.
They're not a friendly animal. I just found out. It's like, I saw those movies with Clint Eastwood. I went, oh.
You know what's unfortunate about that encounter with a chimpanzee?
That I was allowed that close to an animal?
That it didn't rip your limbs off your body.
Oh, yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Well,
for humanity.
That's true. Chimpanzees, yeah, they rip the lips off people. I've read that before.
Mostly limbs.
And lips. I've read that. I'm like, that's a very specific act by a chimpanzee.
You're thinking about the chimpanzee's lips because you tried to put lipstick.
No, I don't trust a chimpanzee. No, 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 Scott.
Yeah, they're so promiscuous.
Are they? Because that gives me a chance. I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
They don't take money. I found that out. I held up a $20 bill. It was crisp. And I, like, you know, did this thing together. And the chimp just looked at me like I was an idiot.
It's a very good judge of character.
And then the handler of the chimp looked at me like I was an idiot. I said, sir, This is Bobo the chimp. We bring him in here to elementary schools like this so the children can meet the... Are you a parent or a teacher? And at that point, the sheriff's deputy did it, intercept me. So, you know.
I can't believe it wasn't apparent that you weren't an apparent.
I'm very convincing, Scott.
Back to the wine.
What?
Back to the wine.
I know.
The beauty of this wine is in the simple, straightforward presentation. You know that it's an upscale product.
True.
You do. It's there's just a sense of crispness that you just don't get with other Sauvignon Blancs. The texture, the leanness. I agree this is considered the driest of the white wines for sure, but that doesn't always mean that they're as lean as this and that there's anything wrong, in my opinion, with them having a little more texture, a little more mouthfeel. And this one just, it's so crisp. It just doesn't have any of the mouthfeel that I'm used to in a more upscale Sauvignon Blanc product. And that's okay. As you said, you called it manipulation.
It is.
Maybe. But it's also, maybe this has just grown more in the French style. And this is more true to the French roots, even though it doesn't have the biggest minerality profile. I like this subtle flint on the backside of it. It's just an interesting wine that I still, my brain is like having a hard time wrapping. It's like my brain is having a hard time wrapping its hands around this thing. It just is. It's not that it's saying it's wrong. I'm just trying to figure out how much I like it.
I know, folks. And with that, we're going to take a break, though, because then we'll be back to review this wine here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. 2021 Cloudy Bay Sauvignon Blanc from Marlborough in New Zealand. Scott, your numerical score.
I just said in the lead up that I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around how much I like this wine. And I'm going to stick there. I need to do more research, which means I'm going to buy it again. I can't emphasize enough, if you're a white wine drinker, you have to try this thing.
Oh, yeah.
You have to. If
you're a wine drinker that wants to be considered serious as a wine drinker, you need to try this wine.
I don't know about that.
No, Scott, I think this is a benchmark for what Sauvignon Blanc is supposed to be. And if you're going to know varietals, you need to drink things that represent the varietal in the best you can find.
Okay.
In a reasonable sense. Okay. And that's this wine, yeah.
I haven't wrapped my head around how much I like this. I know I like the Turley better. Well, but that's not saying much because I really love that wine. But
the Turley has some similar elements in the flavor profile. It is just a little bit more showy in the mouthfeel.
It's got this mouthfeel that I'm just a sucker for.
Yeah, that's fine.
And but this is so crisp.
Flavor profile though, this is the Turley in this do share a lot of
the lemon. The expression.
The way they come across. Yeah.
I might like the expression of this lemon better.
Maybe.
'90 to '92, and I'm going 91 on my points. I know I need to drink this again.
Yeah.
Let me say that repetitiously. I know I need to drink this again. I'm just having a hard time processing how much I like this. At one point, I feel like it's simplistic and straightforward, but the other time, it's so upscale. It's so exquisite. Is it one of those wines where, although it only has three or four things, that it's so well done that those three and four things are the best things ever? But I'm just the acidity, I'm having trouble processing that because it's so subtle and so well done. I love this wine. I love this wine.
Scott, I would like to say something. One thing about what you just said. And I'm clapping for Scott for the simple reality of sometimes you don't have to quantify why you know something is great. You just know it. I've said it before. There are things that I know out there that I don't necessarily love, but I know that it's great. And so I accept that fact and I consider it accordingly. And so Scott necessarily doesn't know if he loves this wine, but he knows that what he's tasting is quality and it's proper. And that's where you know that you should drink this again because of the quality of what's in the glass.
I think you characterized where I'm at exactly. It's you know this is uptown.
Yeah, you know it, and putting your finger on it is very, very difficult. But you know what? That's kind of this wine's charm, isn't it? In the fact that you're like, I know this wine is great, and I don't know why.
This just popped in my head.
What's that?
Then I'm going to let you go. Mm-hmm. This wine is what I want champagne to be. And it never is.
It never is, is it?
It never is.
It isn't.
This wine is what I want champagne to be.
Drink it on New Year's.
Put some bubbles in this, so I go, now I know what champagne should be like.
But it's dead still. It's one of these wines that you say, you know what? This defies all my expectations. I'm not supposed to like a wine that isn't showy. I'm not supposed to like a wine that doesn't have good big fruit. I'm not supposed to like a wine that doesn't make a big deal of its acidity. I'm not supposed to like those wines because they're boring, right? No. The reason why it's not showy is because it doesn't need to be. The reason why it doesn't show acidity is because it's properly made and it's integrated in the wine. So the acidity is there to function to clean up the wine so it doesn't become flabby, not be an element of the wine. Acidity should not be an element of a wine. Let's say this another time so we all can understand this. Acidity should not be an element of the wine. It should be a part of the wine that takes care of other nasty elements that you don't want to manifest. But acidity itself should not be something you taste in a wine.
You're so acidic.
I'm just saying. It's a tool to clean up the wine. The end. You shouldn't taste the acidity. You shouldn't. It should be in the background doing its thing. That's the same consideration I have for oak. Triple B's feels similarly about oak. You do too. Oak should be an element of the wine that makes the wine better. It should not be the wine. It shouldn't be. This wine, with 4% oak, it makes it a background element that makes the wine better. The acidity is there, but it's there in the background doing its thing as to what acidity is supposed to do. I am going to agree with Scott on the 91 of my points. I think this wine is quintessential what I would like Sauvignon Blanc to be, but I know that if it was this way every single time, no one would ever drink it because it's just not as accessible as it should be. But for people that are the next level that want to pull behind the curtain and see what wine is supposed to be, this is that wine.
So bougie.
It's not bougie, though. This wine isn't bougie.
You're bougie.
But this wine isn't bougie.
Wow. You're being bougie. Mm. No.
I love this wine. I will buy this wine regularly, but I can't because Becky won't drink it, but whatever.
You won't buy this regularly.
I do. I have bought it a few times, but I'd be buying it for me.
But you're not going to buy this on a regular basis.
No, because I'd only be buying it for me, and I don't buy white wine just for me.
Let's say you buy 6 bottles of white wine a year. This isn't going to be one of the 6.
But it deserves to be, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I can't. I haven't figured it out yet.
In your household, you could do more with this wine than I can.
I would buy it for other people.
I would buy it to drink with you.
Absolutely. You know who would love this? Hanky would love this.
Yeah, I think Hank would like this. Yes, he would.
You're grilling. It's hot. You're like, hey, you know what?
He doesn't like New Zealand, though, because they fuck sheep, according to Hank.
They kick his ass in rugby. So are the Irish right now, though. So yeah. No, I think he would appreciate this. Honestly,
Hank would like this. Yes.
Honestly, as long as you're not that white musket drinker, I think anybody would appreciate this white wine. I just don't know it would be their favorite.
No. But they're going to remember it.
They're going to know. This crispness and just the subtlety of this wine. As much as I've struggled with understanding how well I like it or don't like it or appreciate it or don't appreciate it, or is it next level or not, this is easy to drink. And that's like such a misnomer. It's one of the easiest things ever. If you like alcohol, you'll love this wine.
There we go.
It comes down to that.
Do you like to drink? Do you like to get drunk? Then this wine is great.
But if there's a price point for this wine that's perfect, it is what it is. Everybody understands that with a bottle of wine, it's like, I spent $10 on a bottle. I spent $20. I spent $30. This is perfect price point for a high quality white wine.
It is.
And folks, sometimes we spend too much time worrying about the price point. This is a wine that you should just drink because this is what wine's about.
That's exactly what I'm thinking and what I'm saying, and there's nothing else to say.
And I'm the guy that I can't wrap my head around how well I like it.
Yep.
I'd love the fact that this wine's got me a little bit not fucked up in a I've drank too much alcohol sense, but I don't know what it is. Yeah, I don't know what it is yet.
I know.
So I'm going to come back to it.
Nevertheless, though, tip of the cap to Cloudy Bay. Tip of the cap to New Zealand. Tip of the cap to, me, because I bought this wine. But still, and you know what? I'm going to tip of the cap to Scott because he bought the Klein Mavedre earlier.
Woo, son.
So.
Tip of that ugly-ass Yankees cap you're wearing?
No. So, 291's Hall of Fame to Cloudy Bay. But with that, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we will bid you adieu, but see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night, folks.